Happy Halloween. I'm Ian DeEubank on the 31st of October, 2024, with the Thursday podcast. Eric Pfeiffer joining me on the news today, including a harvest that is headed for the finish line in a Northeast Indiana update. And what did the Purdue Farm Stress Team talk with students about at the National FFA Convention last week? We'll find out. The Hat Podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Learn more at ffbt.com. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin details our Halloween rains today. And yesterday, beans and wheat higher, corn a little lower. The numbers and Tom Fritz market analysis all on the way on the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
A harvest update from Northeast Indiana and mental health in agriculture's youth. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Harvest is rapidly approaching the finish line. Here's Andy Eubank with an update.
Indiana's statewide 77% complete corn harvest and 87% complete soybean harvest are also about the rate of progress in the Fort Wayne area.
You get to my southern area, and everybody's pretty well wrapped up. And then you get to Fort Wayne North, and we're on the home stretch.
In the final Channel Seeds harvest update this season, Luke Hesterman, field sales representative with Channel Seeds, says it is the most variable crop of corn and soybeans he has ever experienced.
It's a mixed bag. There's good corn that was planted in April, and you go 5 miles a week later, and there's a significant difference right there. So, but there was some disease pressure in certain areas. Tar spot and crown rot really saw fungicide applications paid this year. Two pass programs, tassel, and then 25 days later, we're seeing, 15 to 20 bushel, and standability is just incredible.
As Hesterman describes how little rain his part of the state received, it is easy to understand how some crops fell short of the norm.
We went from July all the way through September to October to now that, I don't think if you looked at field view, we've got more than an inch of rain over, 2.5 months time period. So all things considering, as dry as it has been, we're probably pretty fortunate the crop's as good as what it has been. I would just say soybeans, you could just follow maturities. You get up to about a 2.8, pretty decent beans, and then they started going south, and then where they picked up some rains and got into the a little bit later group three beans, they started to pick up yield there.
He said properly timed fungicide applications successfully mitigated the tar spot risk this year. That should help corn yields in his area get to about the average overall. Soybean yields might end up 15 to 20% below average. Hesterman is based out of Fort Wayne and works with farmers in Northeast Indiana and Northwest Ohio. Hear much more in the full Hat and Channel Seeds update at HoosierAgToday.com and our free mobile app. I'm Andy Eubank.
Stigma lies. You're not alone. Those words were in big, bold letters in the expo hall at last week's National FFA Convention at the Purdue Extension Farm Stress Team booth for thousands of FFA students to see. Abby Heidenreich, Purdue Extension educator and member of the Farm Stress Team, spoke with us last week about their goals at the FFA convention.
What we want to do here is we want to talk to as many kids as we can and just let them know, open up that conversation about their mental health, what their family life looks like either on the farm or in a rural community, and what kind of things they could do to make a difference in their community, in their family, and just in the world.
Heidenreich says the conversations around mental health are getting a bit easier in some cases, But for some people, they're still a bit hesitant to open up.
I always like to say in the programs that I do, I'm not asking you to sit in a circle and sing Kumbaya. I just want you to recognize that we all struggle from time to time. I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I'm just asking you to point out that, hey, some people have issues. I may be some people, but even if you come to a program and you don't think that you need the mental health information or the resources that we present, you may know someone. We all know someone who could benefit from those resources.
Something new this year for the Purdue Extension Farm Stress Team was new material for FFA advisors. Heidenreich says they've developed a lesson that can be taught in ag classrooms that specifically speaks to youth in agriculture.
A lot of times the school-wide mental health programming may not speak to everybody in the ag classroom. So what we want to do is really target that and bring in some of those niche examples that will help them understand their mental health.
You can find mental health resources at extension.purdue.edu/farmstress. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Pretty straightforward forecast here, as there's not many changes from what we've been talking about recently. Today, moisture moving through the Hoosier State, a frontal boundary coming through from west to east. Now, honestly, this front has lost a little bit of its punch. I still think we're on the hook for a quarter to three quarters of an inch of moisture across 100% of the Hoosier State, but the bigger thunderstorms seem to want to stay a little bit farther to the south. I'm fine with that. Should be a decent round of moisture here for the region. We dry down overnight tonight, and we should end up with a partly to mostly sunny sky tomorrow and for Saturday as high pressure settles in over the Great Lakes region. Sunday starts with maybe a little sunshine, but clouds increase quickly. Moisture is here by midday. Scattered showers from Sunday midday right on through Monday and Tuesday. All of Tuesday, we are probably dealing with some cloud cover still trying to break up after midnight Tuesday night. Over the 2.5 days, Monday, Tuesday, and the last half of Sunday, I think we can pencil in 0.5 to 1.5 inches of moisture, 100% coverage across the Hoosier State. Wednesday does turn out partly sunny as moisture sets up a little bit farther to the south, and the rest of next week is cooler with a mix of clouds and sunshine, maybe some Great Lakes enhanced precipitation potential, some spits or sprinkles, more so in Michigan than Indiana, but we're going to keep an eye out everywhere. The cool air eases by the time we get into the weekend of the 9th and 10th. We are looking at a dry setup over most of the country by the time we finish that weekend. That tells me that we should be ready to go with partly sunny skies and near normal temperatures for the week of the 11th. All areas should be in a good position to see drying once again. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Definitely seeing some pattern change and more moisture in the next week to 10 days than we've seen for the past several weeks combined. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Soybeans make a higher move finally. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review. Settlements coming up. We begin with market analysis. Joining me is Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. And on Thursday, Tom, finally we saw a higher move and a pretty strong move for the soybean market. Corn and wheat right around even and a mixed close there with corn down and wheat up. Let's begin with soybeans and what the impetus was for stronger markets.
Well, I think the two announced sales this morning, 132,000 tons to China and 132,000 tons to unknown. Sounds like duplicate amounts. Why don't we call them both for China? I think that helped. Also, the inability to test the contract lows. Jan beans, we were only within, 4 cents or so of it. Soybean meal, Dease meal, was only within a couple of dollars of it. So I think the inability to test those, couple that with the bounce, or I should say the sales, lead to a bounce. But I think that's all it is. And also, soybean oil up 100 points. You know, to me, when you've got strong soybean oil and flat meal, the bean oil will try to work to keep the soybean market alive. So I think, you know, it's a combination of the sales announced, the inability to challenge contract lows, and soybean oil, the rally in bean oil, thank you very much, crude oil, are responsible for the higher soybeans. And just a word of a note, November beans go into delivery tonight. So be interesting to see how those deliveries pan out, especially with how cash prices have improved in the interior. And, you know, prior to the last 2 days, the Gulf basis for soybeans was just a what I call a screaming meme. In fact, if you look, you go back to the first of the month for soybean Gulf basis. At one time, it was 2 days ago, it was well over, what, let's see, from 74 over bid to $1.55 over bid. You do the math. That's an 80-cent rally. But now we're starting to see that bean basis, you know, edge down a little bit. Rains that are being forecasted for the Midwest over the next 10 days or so, week and a half, call it what you will. Hopefully will alleviate some of the logistical issues that the river is having. So maybe that's one of the reasons for the easiness in the basis. Starting to see the corn basis ease as well. And as far as the corn market being lower today, I really don't have a good answer for you. Everything I see, you know, suggests corn should have been no worse than flat. You know, maybe we're starting to see some movement. You look at the spreads in corn today, noticeable bear spreading. D's corn down 2.25, March down 1.5, May down 1.25, and out to July just off 0.5 cent. So that bear spreading would suggest movement, even though the interior basis continues to be, you know, continues to have a firming trend to it, steady to better, if you will. So maybe today's spread action in the corn is telling us that maybe the producer is starting to run out of space to store his corn. We're in the last 19% of harvest. And, you know, really all through harvest. Well, let's say through the month of October, the corn basis has been doing nothing but improving. So, you know, it says, you know, people talk about harvest pressure. Well, when you've got better basis levels, to me that doesn't say anything about harvest pressure. So, but the corn market overall, I think it's well supported. U.S. corn origin continues to be very competitive in the world's global export circles. So, you know, I wouldn't expect to see a whole lot on the downside for corn. But I do think we're going to need some numbers from the USDA on November 9th to suggest that, okay, it's time for corn to eclipse that mid-low 420s resistance level. Wheat market, I was surprised the wheat market held on to its gains today. Yeah, Tuesday it rallied on the poor winter wheat conditions here in the U.S., some of the lowest we've seen in 39 years. They tell me the second lowest ever for that particular date over the last 39 years. But forecasts suggest we've got some pretty decent moisture coming into the southern plains. When you try to fine-tune that moisture, the western edges of the central southern plains may lose out on this rainfall. So, you know, we all know what western Kansas, you know, western Kansas is always in need of rainfall. So, you know, it's that forecast is a little bit vague for that area. So, but central Kansas east, most of Oklahoma, you know, a lot of the winter wheat areas are going to see some beneficial moisture from this system that's being forecasted. So we'll see how that goes. So the bottom line is the wheat market, I think, is just mixed, waiting to see how that rain materializes. And, you know, as I said, soybeans, I think it was just a reaction to, you know, the combination of the sales and better bean oil business. So, but is the soybean market going anywhere? Not as long as the meal market's a dog. And, you know, mealers can't get anything going, and basis levels there are starting to ease. So bottom line is, you know, I think there's good underlying long-term support for corn. Put your trading shoes on for the wheat market, fading short-term interday extremes. And I do think we're supposed to be selling rallies in soybeans. Whereas if you want to be long something in the bean complex, my suggestion is soybean oil, just because of the developing interest in the sustainable aviation fuels.
Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. Now the Wednesday settlements right below even in corn, December 4.11.5, going 2.25 lower, 1.5 down on the March contract, 4.25.5. Over in beans, 11.25 up for November, 976.5. January, 991.25 up 12.25. December wheat also slightly higher, 2.75 up at 573.25. Meat markets mixed. December live cattle down $1.52, 186.42. December lean hog contract 84.37, a gain of $1.55. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Wednesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.